What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Rotoballer channel. We're here to talk best ball because what else is going on in football? Not a whole lot. But it is best ball season. It's been best ball season since, I think early February. I know the draft is just around the corner, so a lot's going to change. And, of course, we're going to talk about all that. But we're going to wait until the draft actually takes place before reacting to it. And a lot of people are already, you know, kind of declaring where everyone's going. And everyone just seems to know how the draft is going to play out. We're not going to pretend that we know what's going to happen because we don't. But Chris, I think this is actually a good time. I don't know about you. I actually prefer to get some drafts in before the draft. Let me rephrase that. I prefer to get some best ball drafts in before the NFL draft. Because even though I don't pretend I know what's going to happen, I think I like to know that I have some sense of where some values are, you know, kind of which teams are looking for which positions. So I feel like it's a good chance to kind of, I don't know, put my knowledge to good use.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think it favors people who are more knowledgeable in that aspect. And usually a lot of, at this time of year in best ball drafts, you can get rookies at values. So even though some guys are going pretty high, like Jonathan Taylor, I think is going in like the third or fourth round of rookie or best ball drafts right now. If he ends up in a great landing, if he's like a first round pick that ends up in some smash landing spot, he's probably going to be a second rounder, right? So you're still going to get him at a discount. There's even rookies that are going towards the end of the draft who, you know, might get drafted to some amazing spot and their ADP is going to shoot up immensely. So it's a great time to also, you know, be stocking up on the rookies before they get drafted.
Yeah, and it's funny because you're absolutely right there. You know, rookie ADP is going to change a lot. Some will shoot up. Like, this is your last chance. Get them, you know, I guess cheap if you want to say. But at the same time, there's going to be some fallers. So you kind of have to weigh that carefully. Where do you think these guys are going to go? Not necessarily what team they're going to go to, but, you know, where in the draft. Because you might think a guy like Taylor is, you know, going to be a first-round pick. I've seen some mocks. Even there's one that we just put out on Rotoballer. Andrew LaLama just put this out in his recent mock 2.0. He has Taylor going in the second round, okay, and falling quite a bit. I don't think that's going to happen necessarily, but it's possible, right? But he also had them going to the Ravens, which, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good landing spot, but at the same time, if that's the case, he's splitting time with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards, and they just got Justice Hill, so I don't think that's going to happen, but we don't know, right? We really don't know.
Right.
So... But we're going to talk about some guys that we want to target right now in early best ball drafts. So just generally speaking of rookies, are you looking to try to acquire rookies on the cheap, the ones that you think will rise, like after pick 100 or so? Or is it only if you think the value is right?
No, I think because the thing is, like you said, especially when you start getting past pick 100 and we're getting to those guys who, you know, maybe third, fourth, fifth round picks in the NFL draft, it's kind of hard to predict at that point. You know, you can't just go by talent anymore, because if a guy gets drafted in the fifth round to a bad situation, chances are he's not going to help you much in best ball this year. So when we're talking about picks later than 100, it's more just about spreading out your exposure to these guys, just trying to get exposure to them as much as you can, because like you said, yeah, some are going to fall, but some are going to skyrocket, right? Some guys that are going late might get drafted. You know, it was like, I remember, I think the like one of the most recent ones I can think of is Sonny Michel. No one expected him to go that high, right? And you know, if you were drafting him that year in best ball, you were getting him at a steal. And another in the reverse way, we talk about like a guy like Darius Geis. I remember that draft year, everybody loved Darius Geis, and then he fell to the third round, right? Third round, and his ADP plummeted. So it works both ways. But yeah, I think just getting as much exposure to those guys as you can is the right strategy.
And, you know, a Geis interesting situation. We don't know what could have been, of course. I was in love with Darius Geis too. Even after he got drafted, I said, you know what? It's okay because he has a chance now. He can show and prove, and the injury kind of derailed that. But I would just say don't fall in love with rookies. You know, people think, oh, I'm gonna get such a great value, this guy's gonna be a stud, whatever. It doesn't always pan out, right? It's just too risky. I know best ball kind of mitigates the risk because, you know, you don't depend on him, you don't have to make those start sit decisions, but even a guy like N'Keal Harry, everyone thought he would be a stud. Going to the Patriots is a great situation, and he wound up doing nothing. So just be careful. I wouldn't go out of my way, in other words, to target rookies just because, you know, you think that you're getting a good bargain or a deal, whatever. So let's talk about some values here. We'll start with guys. And again, I kind of mentioned pick 100. It's a completely arbitrary number that I just picked because it's a nice round number. But let's just say after the first several rounds, and you can take some chances, right? It's not a guy who's going to be one of your top two or three at a position. So some guys that we identified that we like, whose ADP either could rise or they're just a good bargain for where they are. And we'll talk about a guy who's very far from a rookie, old man Sanders here, Emmanuel Sanders. You might have heard he went to the Saints. Now, this is interesting because some mocks have the Saints taken a receiver. Again, I'm not quite on board with that. I'm not sure that I think that that's their biggest need, especially since they did just sign Sanders. I don't know, maybe they're done with Traquan Smith, but still, I don't see them chasing a receiver like in the first round. But you definitely like Sanders given the situation, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we saw him. He was productive in San Francisco last year. Obviously, down the stretch, kind of started losing out to Deebo Samuel. But, I mean, when you're drafting Emmanuel Sanders this late, what he's going, he's 125 on the board right now. You're not drafting Emmanuel Sanders here to give you a nice, safe floor every week. You're drafting Emmanuel Sanders here for those, you know, 4 or 5 weeks during the season when Drew Brees hits him for a long touchdown, or, you know, he puts up a 7-catch, 100-yard game or something like that. So I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be one of those week-to-week, you know, wide receiver two types, but he's got so much upside playing with Drew Brees that I think he's just a steal at this point, especially in best ball.
So you think he's going to do basically all the things that Traquan Smith was supposed to do?
Yes, sadly, because we've seen Emmanuel Sanders do it at the NFL level many, many, many times. So we know he can do it.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Smith. I had faith all the way up until the end, which I think this might be the end. They'll still keep him around, but yeah, he's not going to be somebody worth chasing now at this point. Sanders, and you see obviously the fact that he went to New Orleans, now his ADP is up. Just look at the last 2 weeks, April drafts, he's at 105. Don't think that that's going to change too much because he's, you know, been rising a little bit, but that's still pretty good value because, like you said, at that price, you're basically getting, he's like your third receiver, right, probably. And then best ball, like I said, he's going to have those boom weeks. That's the kind of guy that you basically want to get because, you know, 50 yards and 4 catches every week, that's not going to really move the needle. You kind of want a little bit of variance, right? We talked about consistency before. Last year, we've talked all about best ball strategy. And so those boom bust types, I mean, you kind of like those a little bit better, right, in best ball because then you have the depth to cover it and you're going to go 6-7 receivers deep or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, in best ball, I'm always looking at ceiling. I'm always thinking about ceiling. Yeah. Whereas in redraft, sometimes I'll lean more for floor because you just have to beat one opponent every week. But in best ball, you got to beat 12 guys over the course of an entire season, or 11 guys, I guess. You're the 12th. So your goal is just ceiling. You're just always looking at – you should just always be looking at ceiling. So if your choice is between a safer guy and a riskier guy, you should take the riskier guy.
Agree with that.
Assuming that the safer guy doesn't have as high. If the safer guy has the same ceiling, then go with the safer guy. But if the safer guy doesn't have the ceiling as a riskier guy, I would take the riskier guy for that ceiling.
And just to clarify, because there's different types of best ball, right? There's different leagues and platforms. We're just assuming, you know, like best ball 10s, you know, used to be MFL 10s, just regular old scoring, not super flex, not tight end premium scoring or anything, just straight up, you know, traditional scoring. So
PPR, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, assume field PPR. All right, let's go to the next one. A guy that we talked about, I think in our dynasty, right? Talked about our tight end rankings. Definitely a steal, and you know, probably like, what the hell are you thinking? Dynasty is Jack Doyle. He's not young, but hey, he's still what? Not even quite 30. Is he about to turn 30? Something like that.
Yeah.
But in best ball, he's still kind of a steal, right? 136. That's not too bad.
No, and again, this is another one like I talked about in our last pod. What do they have? Like, who are their passing game weapons here? T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, I guess. Jack Doyle, maybe. Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing really that, you know, no target monsters here outside of T.Y. Hilton. Even T.Y. Hilton's not a huge target monster, right? He doesn't.
Not really. He's always hurt.
Yeah, that's true. And we've seen what Jack Doyle can do. Now, granted, that was with Andrew Luck, but with Ebron out of the picture again, he should now. I mean, he's a value here at this spot, especially the tight end position. Because the thing about tight end is, once you get outside of like Kittle and Kelsey, and Andrews, maybe like a few others, there's not really a huge ceiling for these guys anyway. So I know I just talked about ceiling, because I don't look at Jack Doyle as a high ceiling guy. But at the tight end position, when you get this deep, no one really has a big ceiling anymore. So, I think Jack Doyle is a steal here at the tight end. I mean, what's he going? He's got to be going off as like tight end 20 or something.
Well, I was going to ask you is, like, do you feel comfortable enough? Like, would you wait if you're waiting on tight end, right? Which, you know, a lot of people do. If you're not getting one early, you might as well wait, right? But yeah, would you feel comfortable enough to wait and make him your first tight end, or is this strictly like a high end, tight end two?
I wouldn't want Jack Doyle as my tight end one, but if he was my tight end two or even tight end three, I'd feel very good about that. But I wouldn't want Jack Doyle as my tight end.
All right. I just want to check how high the ceiling is on your ceiling for him. I agree though. No, I wouldn't take him as my first tight end, but it also depends, like, roster construction, right? Are you going to draft two tight ends or three? So if you have one relatively early and then you take Jack Doyle as your second tight end, then maybe you don't have to get a third one, right? You can just kind of stop right there.
Exactly. Like if you drafted like one of those guys like Kittle or Kelsey or Andrews early, and then you're like, okay, I'm pretty much set at my tight end one for the most part, and then you can get Doyle later, I think that would be pretty good. Or even if you went, I don't even know who are some of the tight ends around here, like if you grabbed a guy, like maybe your tight end one was a guy like, I don't know, I'm trying to look here real quick, dude. If your tight end one was somebody in the, like maybe the Tyler Higbee range or the Evan Ingram range, something like that, where you feel pretty good about it, but maybe not fantastic. I think if you got Jack Doyle as your tight end two and then grab one of those really, really late guys, just kind of insurance your tight end three, you'd feel pretty good about that pairing too.
Yeah, well, and if I get one of those guys, I definitely want someone who's pretty safe as my backup, because Ingram had some injuries and, you know, Higbee, I'm not convinced he's going to necessarily do what he was doing the second half last year again, so... All right, and let's keep going down the list here. There's a guy I know I like right now. A big if here, because we don't know. Again, this is guys that could shoot up in value after the draft. He could also plummet in value as Justin Jackson, because as of right now, he could be the RB2 for the Chargers. Austin Eckler, of course, they signed him to a contract extension, so he's their guy, right? They've already said you're our guy. So to me, given the fact that they're investing in Eckler, and Jackson's looked pretty good, you know, when he's had a chance, I don't think that they're going to necessarily go out and get a guy early. Like, yeah, they'll probably get another back later, you know, day two, maybe day three. But that's more for depth than anything. I don't feel like the Chargers are going to go out and get a running back that's going to threaten to be the number two guy. But this is kind of risky, right? So if Jackson is splitting carries with Eckler, again, he's an injury away from being a starting running back in the NFL, but also he'll get some touches. He'll get some, you know, red zone looks. I think he could return pretty good value here, given the fact he's going 150 overall.
Yeah, he's kind of been forgotten, right, because all the Eckler hype. But I agree with you. I think this is a good spot for him. This is a good value for him. Like you said, I mean, is Eckler really an every down, every touch kind of guy? I mean, I know he can handle a decent amount, but you got to think Justin Jackson's going to get his share. And definitely, like, more around the goal line, he's probably going to get more of the work. And like you said, if something happens to Eckler, next man up, right? So he definitely has he's a great handcuff, especially this late. This is where you want to draft guys like this who can give you some standalone weekly values from time to time. And then if something were to happen to Eckler, would potentially give you every week value.
Right. And so again, this is a big if. It's not a huge risk in his ADP, right? You're not risking a whole lot, because even if they do draft it back, it doesn't mean it's going to pan out, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to cut Jackson or something like that. But you realize in the time he's had, looking up here, okay, his rookie season, 50 carries, 206 yards. That was just in some spare time when, you know, Gordon was hurt. And so that's an average of, 4.1 yards carry. Last year, 6.9 yards per carry, only 29 carries. But still, when he's had the ball, he's been effective. He's not going to get a ton of touches. But again, this is best ball. If he just has, you know, a couple of big weeks, right, if he chips in a little bit here and there, you're not paying much to get him. So to me, it's worth the risk right now.
Yeah.
And then a back that you like, again, I think totally forgotten here, is Boston Scott for Philadelphia. Came on at the end of the season. Everyone, again, talking about Miles Sanders, but Philadelphia, if there's a team that likes to use more than one back, it's the Eagles.
Yeah, and the thing about Boston, the thing I like about Boston Scott is you look from week 8 to week 11 last year, which I think he got hurt after week 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Miles Sanders was playing in these games, I'm pretty sure. So he's not getting a lot of carries because, you know, he's kind of small. He's 200 pounds, but he's only 5'6". But he had 6 catches, 7 catches, 6 catches, and 4 catches. Right? And he had a game with 84 yards and a game with 69 yards. So this is a guy, like, again, especially, you know, in a PPR format like this, and you're talking about a guy, if he's gonna get you 6 catches and 80 yards, you're talking about a 14-point game, which he did last year. So, you know, a couple of times from a guy you're drafting this late. Plus, he got a decent amount of looks. He had a game with 10 and a game with 19 carries. So it wasn't like he was completely non-existent from the running game. So I just think there's a ton of upside here. Is he gonna give you value? Like, he's not gonna crack your lineup every week. But there's going to be some weeks during the year where he has a big game, like a, you know, like I said, like a 6-catch, 80 game with 1 touchdown, and he's going to, you know, potentially be your RB1 that week.
Yeah, and same thing. I think it's pretty obvious the Eagles, if they need something, it's receiver, right? So they're not going to draft a running back early. They don't need one because of Miles Sanders. This is what they did last year. Scott has a chance to just keep his same role. And so, I mean, there you go. You have a guy who's got a pretty clear path to touches. And more of a floor than a ceiling guy. Probably, like you said, that there are going to be some of those splash games, right, where he's, you know, they're falling behind and they're having to dump it off to the running back more. But he should give you at least a couple catches almost every week. You know, Sanders isn't going to be a guy who's going to touch the ball 30 times a game. So Scott's definitely going to get worked in the mix. I definitely like that pick. Totally forgotten here, right? People are just going to assume that he's, you know, not going to be a big part of the offense, but. And then one last guy here I like. I think you agree, James Washington. Now,
yeah.
I am a big Deontay Johnson fan. I kind of liked him before last year, and I feel like he's going to still be a big part of the offense. But here's the thing. Talk about where's the value at. So Deontay Johnson right now is going, I think, 98 overall. James Washington, 159. That's a pretty big difference, right? And so Washington isn't a guy who's going to be consistent, right? He's definitely all about the ceiling, not the floor. But again, that's what we're looking for. And by this point, you know, he's your fifth receiver, maybe sixth guy. So do you think that if Juju's healthy, that Washington can still deliver big games?
Oh, I do, especially if you assume he's going to be healthy for all 16, which if you look at his career prior to last year, that's generally the case. Big Ben's a pretty tough dude. He, you know, he can take a beating and keep going. And yeah, I like Deontay Johnson too. I mean, in a perfect world, you draft both. I think you would draft Johnson, and then a few rounds later, you'd grab Washington, and now you basically, you know, outside of Juju, you have the Steelers wide receiver group on lock, and you're going to get a lot of big weeks out of those two guys. They're, you know, but even if you can't get Johnson, you just get Washington. I think he's a great value. I mean, look at some of his game logs last year. He had 4 for 69. He had 6 for 90 with a touchdown. He had 3 for 98 with a touchdown. He had 4 for 111 with a touchdown. He had 5 for 83. And that was with a horrendous quarterback play, right? Horrendous quarterback play. We know this guy has that big play ability. So, yeah, just huge upside here.
Yeah, and that's it. It's the perfect ceiling play. I mean, it's pretty obvious what he is at this point. He's just a deep threat. They're going to just chuck it to him deep and hope he comes down with it, and every once in a while it's going to work. And that's fine because, again, that you're not expecting that he's going to be your starting receiver. He's not going to give you points every week. But, again, if Juju's on the field, that helps him because at this point, if Washington's their third option, their third receiver, he's drawing less attention, right, from defenders. And if the offense is clicking with Big Ben on the field, he'll definitely have his moments. So at that point, and all the receivers on the board around there, I don't think there's anybody who has nearly the same upside that he does. So,
no, definitely not.
All right. And this has been our value picks. We're also going to talk about those guys to avoid early. there's all sorts of things that are going to change, and don't worry, we'll do another version of this after the NFL draft. But for right now, I'd say squeeze in a couple of best ball drafts, right? Do it now. Take advantage of what you know, and try to get some value while you can. All right, guys. Thanks for watching.